Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is August 9th, 2018. Turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time in the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. And an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, you can always find updates of the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information, all this at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. Remember, folks, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. It's live on YouTube, on some FM stations. So please pray about supporting airtime, as this radio program, this ministry, sells nothing. We're only on the air to your kind donations. On another note, let's thank our listener base that is worldwide in places like Mexico City, Mexico, of course, Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, Durban, South Africa, Hyderabad, India, and of course, cities in the old United States such as Washington, D.C., Nashville, Tennessee, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, San Jose, California. These are just to name a few. Of course, Wichita, Kansas remains the largest group of listeners to our podcast. That's when they go to podcast later tonight. Follow us and share us at Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Brandt77. Now, prayer, I'll bring on tonight's distinguished guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will, not ours, Father. Please give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. So please, Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, tonight we're going to talk about a great new book. It's a must-read. It's also a study book. It's entitled Alliance of Evil, and it's written by Lieutenant Colonel Robert or Bob McGinnis. He's a U.S. Army retired who is a regular broadcast partner on a Prophecy Today radio broadcast. Alliance of Evil establishes that, without a doubt, the United States and our allies are locked in a prophetic global confrontation on many fronts, a new kind of dual Cold War with the Russians and the Chinese. The Russian Federation, under a populist authority leader, seriously threatens the West ideology through cyberspace and militarily, thanks to the country's heavy interest in sophisticated mass killing weapons. Colonel McGinnis is an experienced and internationally known expert on national security and foreign affairs. He currently serves as a national security and foreign affairs analyst for Moody Broadcasting Radio Network, Salem Radio Network, and is a regular guest on several other radio networks. He recently completed a year as a Fox News military analyst. He's a senior citizens systems analyst with BCP International Limited, in an Alexandria VA-based company where his primary duties involve working on multinational programs for the Department of the Army. Colonel McGinnis has been a member of Secretary Donald Rumsfeld's military analyst group. Anyway, he's also an advisor to the Defense Department Military Working Group on Homosexuals in the Military. Colonel McGinnis received a BS from the United States Military Academy, West Point, New York in 1973, and an MS from the Naval postgraduate school, California, in 1983. He's a graduate of many military schools, including the Command and General Staff College and the United States Army's War College Strategy Course. I bring all this up to point to that he is an expert in this field that he's going to be talking about. He is the author of another book, and we had him on and talked about that. That book is called The Deeper State, Inside the War on Donald Trump by Corrupt Elites, Secret Society, and Builders of an Intimate Final Empire. I still encourage you to get that book also. So welcome now, Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis. Welcome, Bob, to the program.
Well, thank you for having me, Pastor. It's my pleasure this evening.
Well, it's my real great pleasure and honor to have you on, brother. I first want to thank you, as I do all veterans. Thank you for your service. Without you, we wouldn't have an America. So thank you, sir. I appreciate you.
Having
said that, first, how did that other book, The Deeper State, do? That was a really good book.
Well, it's still out there, and as everybody knows who watches the nightly news, Washington continues to evidence the deeper state with the corruption throughout the bureaucracy and the political class. And, of course, the outside influence is so insidious and evil. And then, of course, the third level of the deeper state that I often talk about is the unseen realm, the spiritual dimension. And it's, working overtime and corrupting what's left of our country.
Well, amen. With your experience that you have, you are a great person to write such a book. And, folks, I really encourage you to get that book if you haven't got it already, if you want to understand what the deeper state is. And like you say, because you bring in that also that spiritual aspect, while a lot of people, they'll just do one and not the other. You understand what I'm saying? They'll talk about the physical and then they'll leave the spiritual out. Or somebody will talk about the spiritual and leave the physical out. You combine the two together. Back to you.
Yeah, it's critical that we understand, we live in a world that, is influenced in every aspect, as you know, Pastor, by the spiritual dimension. It goes all the way back to the founding of man in the Garden of Eden. And the devil was very much at work then, and he's very much with all his demons at work today. And we should not be surprised by, the seriously, bad things that happen in the world, especially in Washington, where power is so, concentrated in the hands of so very few. And so they're vulnerable to manipulation, and especially those in the bureaucracy and those that are elected to political positions.
Yeah, amen. It seems like that, after Trump, made it to the presidency, it just seemed like, I don't know, maybe the cover, if you will, of everything was just lifted off, because now, it's like these evil things are hiding themselves. They're just talking, and I've never heard such, been at any other time in my life. I'm 63 years old. I've never seen or even thought that people could talk and act such as the way that they are, and really is pretty, it's pretty scary. If I didn't have, if I wasn't saved, situation, because if you took Donald Trump out of the picture, it would revert into the hands of these people. Back to you.
Yeah, no doubt that had Hillary Clinton been elected, she would have brought into office many of the people that have been basically behind the scenes manipulating much of the very bad things that we've been seeing. With a bureaucracy, whether it's in the Justice Department or the FBI, where corruption has now been unveiled. But there's corruption throughout the government. And, of course, the political people that come to Washington often fall prey to the same corrupting and evil influences. And there are so very few that can maintain, certainly a good decorum, a statesman-like approach to how things are done or should be done. And Christians that come into elected office here are under similar temptations, and it's very difficult. We have some, and we need to keep them in prayer, but recognizing that, the world is corrupt, the world is evil. Christ came to save us from that sin, And, you know, we need to recognize that when he puts us in position of authority, we should use those opportunities for his benefit and not for our personal benefit, and yet we find that turned around in Washington so often.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I say, you know, this whole thing since Donald Trump has been elected has been like a revealing, if you will, and not only just on the lefts that are screaming and using such vile things, and congressmen that are telling people to have violence against other elected officials. It's just out of this world. But I'm seeing it from even, you know, the other side also, and so it is quite a revealing. Anyway, again, thank you for your work. This new book, Alliance of Evil, now I crashed it yesterday, and I'm really greatly impressed by it. The book talks about a new dual Cold War, but before I ask you to explain that, because education really isn't just what it should be, some folks don't even really understand, sadly, what the Cold War was. So maybe you should touch on what is the Cold War first before we go into the dual Cold War.
Well certainly, Pastor. After World War II, around 1945, up until 1991 is the period, of course, we call the Cold War. It was basically a relentless institutionalized tragedy in which there were proxy wars like the Korean War, the Vietnam War, and all sorts of wars in Central Asia, Middle East, certainly in Africa and elsewhere. You know, I recall vividly, because I was on the demilitarized zone facing the North Koreans way back when. And then, of course, I served on the Iron Curtain on Western Germany, on the border there with East Germany, where, you know, there were minefields and barbed wire and people trying to escape. There were gulags. There were, you know, forced confessions. Millions died at the hands of both the Russians and the Chinese. And, of course, you know, I think the thing that most of the people from that era, of which I'm among them, remembers is the threat of nuclear holocaust, where we made tens of thousands of nuclear weapons, warheads, and there were many threats, and we came close to nuclear war many times during that era. And so, you know, that was always kept people on edge. And, of course, there was the ideological conflict between communism on one side and, of course, capitalism, democracy on the other. And, you know, that was fought across proxies around the world, where elite leaders of some countries would line up with the Soviets and, you know, embrace their ideology and force it on their people, and it became an oppressive environment. So, you know, that was the old Cold War, and then, you know, it really ended to a large degree, I would argue, because of a host of things. Certainly it helped that Ronald Reagan, you know, really put the pressure on Mikhail Gorbachev. And with the, you know, Strategic Arms Reduction Treaty, or, you know, what we call the Strategic Defense Initiative, Star Wars. But, you know, they were overstretched financially. They were under a great deal of pressure because we had a major armed forces in Western Europe under NATO and under the U.S. leadership. They had a corrosive power base there that, you know, it was so corrupt that, you know, they couldn't manufacture efficiently anything but armaments. And of course, there was a lot of pressure from Radio Free Europe and Radio Liberty. And, you know, people began to feel internally that they were getting a raw deal, which they were under the leadership of Stalin and Khrushchev and later, of course, finally Gorbachev when he surrendered, you know, basically the Communist Party to their parliament, and then lowered the hammer and sickle on Christmas Day in 1991. So it was just a very tough time, a very frightening time for those of us that lived through it. And, you know, unfortunately, over the last 5 years, I've begun to see, once again, all the indicators that I had seen during the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and I'm seeing it in spades today, in a way that is far more frightening in some ways than it ever was before.
Yeah, amen. We'll get deeper into that in a second. Let me make a couple comments about the old Cold War. You know, I remember back, you know, buildings, you would go around and there would be that nuclear sign on the building, you know, which designated it as a fallout shelter. It was commonplace to see that at the front of schools and other places. And I remember even in grade school, not only did we have tornado drills, but we had drills for atomic weapon attack. And so it was frightening when I was young, you know, and I don't know, it might have even at a young age fueled me towards wanting to get into Bible prophecy. But yeah, it's very frightening. But those conditions, you know, a lot of people, well, the Cold War's over, but the same people aren't the, let's talk about Russia for a minute before we go into the, what, aren't, don't they still have the same ideology, basically, as they've always had?
Well, after the fall of the Soviet Union in 1991, of course, there was a period of chaos, basically. They tried to embrace some Western ways. They have embraced a parliament. They tried to have some elections. But the Russian people have a long history of turning to autocrats. Which doesn't surprise me now that they have Vladimir Putin for the third and perhaps the fourth term as president. And, you know, he runs Russia with great popularity, and more than 80% of the people endorse him. So, you know, he's like he was a KGB operative, which he was during the Cold War. He runs that country with an iron fist, and they tend to like authoritarians. And of course, he pours as much money as he can into rearming the Russian Federation, intimidating people, using the mechanisms of state to advance his agenda, which is, as he's said many times, the resurrection of the great power that the Russians had during the Cold War. So, you know, using cyber technologies, which he is rightly blamed for and trying to attack the West constantly, or going into Syria or seizing Crimea, right, and Georgia, intimidating, you know, us and our allies in the Baltics. And of course, now, you know, they've really ratcheted up their submarine operations and their surface operations, and have started, you know, in naval operations in the North Atlantic that we haven't seen since the Cold War. So Russia is coming back. It's not as strong as it was, but it's certainly a very foreboding, capable nation with a large nuclear arsenal, which, of course, is the crown jewel of the Kremlin.
Yeah, amen. And, you know, I was going to talk, I want to bring in to the fact that what I really like, now this is something I've hit on and I've only found a couple of, in, I've been on radio a very long time, that have actually brought in the religious point of view of Russians and in fact Putin using that. You point that out in your book about Putin using religion as he argues the West is not for Christian values, but Russia is. We got about 4 minutes before break. You want to touch on that a little bit?
Yeah, well, you know, if you look at the endorsements that, you know, Vladimir Putin has received from, you know, especially the Russian Orthodox Church, they just applaud this guy. They, you know, it's interesting that one of the senior leaders calls him a katechon, which is really a term that's taken from 2 Thessalonians 2:6-7, which means, it describes, you know, the mystery of iniquity. In other words, that, you know, they're talking about somebody that can control the mystery of iniquity, which he labels the secular West. So he is saying, with the endorsement of the Russian Orthodox Church, that he's trying to preserve family values and biblical values, and he has the support of that church, and he's saying, look at the West, they're nihilistic, look at Hollywood, they pump out immoral material all the way. Look at the corruption in Washington. So things have just been turned 180 degrees where he is saying, I am bringing you peace and prosperity. I am bringing you, the types of values that are biblical values. But the West is so corrupted, they're going in just the opposite direction. So it's quite a contrast from what we had during the Cold War.
Yeah, and that's pretty amazing because of some of the things, and I do follow that. In fact, folks, you should know that the Russian Orthodox Church, they always esteem their leaders on a very high religious level, so to speak, I'm not quite giving them saint status, but like that. But anyway, back to that. The things that they're pointing out, they point towards homosexuality, gay marriage, and the things in Hollywood, they're actually right to a point. You know what I'm saying? Back to you.
Oh, absolutely. Certainly the Russians and the Chinese, President Xi does exactly the same thing. Now, all they have to say is, these are the very things that the West is promoting. Is that the type of country that you want to have? And of course, most people say, of course not. That's not what our forefathers would have us, embrace in terms of values and rights and wrongs. Like I say, it's 180 degrees out of what it used to be when we used to look at the corruption of the Soviet Union and how it was going in a very different direction. And of course, we were presenting ourselves as a representative of a democracy, of a country that follows biblical principles and the like. But that's been abandoned to a large degree, especially by the progressive left in this country, which has a very loud voice and has tried to foist its values on the rest of the world, which, of course, is something that the Russians and the Chinese are constantly pointing to and saying, you don't want to be like them.
Yeah, absolutely. It's pretty amazing, and I'm really glad you point these things out in your book. And again, it goes back to that, you point out, all the technical things, but, you bring this other view into your book that it's just missing from a lot of authors. Like I say, some of them will point out one thing and the other, but this opening up about Russia and getting people to look at it from that point of view, even just saying that the Orthodox Church believes in they're going to take on the Antichrist. That just seems absurd to some people, but that's the way it is. Okay, you want to give us a website, or you want to tell us where to find the book? Because we got about 50 seconds before break.
Well, certainly it's on Amazon, just Alliance of Evil, and search my last name, McGinnis. It's in Barnes & Noble, and Defender Publishing Group has it as well. Skywatch has it. So it's available in many places.
Okay. And you can also find you personally on Facebook. Is that a yes or no?
Yes, I have a site on Facebook as well, and people can go in there, and I put stuff in there every day.
Okay, folks, and whenever you listen to this later on tonight in podcast, after it goes to that, I'll add a couple of links so that you can find him. And the book is The Alliance of Evil. And we'll be back to talk more about it in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Well, we're back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. We are talking with Colonel McGinnis, on retired, on this book, Alliance of Evil. But before we get back into that, just a really quick about the Mission Church. I know you folks heard a commercial, but anyway, so let me say this. Right now, you know, summer donations are down really a lot. That's what happens during the summertime, and in a lot of ministries are that way. It's almost like the water spigot gets shut off to a drip. So pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. Will we help the homeless and poor? Well, of course the homeless are poor, but we're talking about the poor people that are just barely making rent and still working, but they can't get everything, and so they come in looking for food, clothing, Bibles, the gospel, everything you can think of, miracle prayers. And so we need your support because, again, we're just a small ministry, a little mission church. We don't have a huge congregation to pay for all this. It only comes from folks like you that are listening to radio that make donations. And so pray about it. Also pray about supporting radio. But when we get to really, truly help someone, you know, you must leave your world to enter a place where that other person lives. Our mission church is in one of the very worst parts of Wichita. Right out on the streets and on the front sidewalks around us, there's prostitutes walking the street. There's also, in fact, they come in to eat and to get clothes to change into. It's pitiful. Yes, we've helped a lot of them, and there's a lot, over 19 years that we've been doing this, there's a lot of praise reports. But we are right there. We do know what they need, and we are right there for them. Where else should the body of Messiah be but among the sinners like Yeshua was to show them the way? So support us. We can care for the people that the Father sends us. Men, women, and children from all walks of life who've had a bad break come to us from help. We get no real help from any kind of organized churches or government agencies. It's only folks like you that supported us now that we're in our 19th year that make this mission church work. And so pray about it. This is what even the agencies tell people about the Father's Little Mission Church. You know, people who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. We are the last hope for so many, and we are all responsible to care one for another as we are brothers keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. Again, if you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime, as it's not free, and donations keep us on the air. Now, you can donate online or mail a check or money order, or you can call on the phone, but you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And now we're back with Bob McGinnis, and we're talking about his newest book, which is called The Alliance of Evil. Are you still with me, Bob?
I'm still here, Pastor.
All right. Well, I'm glad. Always that, because, you know, I can't see people, you know, through the radio screen. I know. I wonder if they hung up or not, jokingly. But that was my biggest thing to get over when I started radio is learning to talk without seeing the person, and that was a learning curve. Anyway, enough about that. But so we talked about the first Cold War. The second one you call it a new dual Cold War. What does that mean, new dual Cold War? Back to you.
Well, it's a dual Cold War because we have really an alliance of convenience between China and Russia. Now, during the old Cold War, Russia was in the lead. It was the hegemon, the big nation with all the resources and all the weapons and so forth. Well, it's just turned on its head. Russia is far poorer than China today. China is the second leading economy and could well be the first leading world economy in another decade based upon a number of projections. And, of course, it's really ratcheting up its military capabilities. They have a blue water navy that is almost as good as ours. They're pursuing a very sophisticated artificial intelligence. I would argue probably ahead of us in terms of future unfathomable weapon systems. They're going into space, frankly, more than we are. They're developing capabilities around the world that are staggering. So there's sort of a battlefield in terms of a new arms race. It's not just nuclear this time. It's all these new sophisticated hypersonic space systems and the like. Now, we all hear about in the news about the economic battlefield. Well, you know, clearly, you know, we have been taken advantage of for decades and decades, and it's hurting all of us. The battle economically is being played on many fronts. Yes, the Chinese are robbing us blind of our intellectual property. You know, President Trump says in the neighborhood of something like $300 to $400 billion of intellectual property yearly is lost through cyberspace, through hacking and the like. But what the Chinese are doing, they have a what they call a Belt and a Road initiative, which is global, and they're buying up land, they're buying up access all over Europe, all over Africa, all over Asia, South America. They're controlling ports, they're controlling all sorts of infrastructure, and where they go in and buy up this stuff, they manipulate those local governments to make sure that their policies are favorable to the Chinese. So you've got that going on economically that's kind of mixed in politically. And then, of course, you have the ideological battle. And we talked about it in the last segment, Pastor, you know, where, you know, they're presenting themselves as, you know, stable societies that have the best interest of the people. And in Russia especially, they're saying that their leadership is really following a biblical prescription endorsed by the Russian Orthodox Church. And so ideologically, economically, in terms of cyberspace, you know, there was a speech given by one of the assistant CIA directors 2 weeks ago that says, look, we are in a Cold War with the Chinese. And, of course, to a certain degree with the Russians, but with the help of the Iranians and North Koreans and others in terms of cyberspace. There's general recognition that this is a new period of time in which we just aren't going to be the top dog as we had been after the end of the Cold War in 91, and we had the period of decades in which we could have changed things a lot more than we did, and we ignored, you know, these rising threats. And now in the last few years, they've just taken off, and they've really begun to show our weaknesses in terms of economics and cyber, arms, and of course, ideologically, because of how, you know, we've kind of sunk into the sewer, I suppose, to a certain degree.
I, by far, and I've noticed it for a very, very long time, that I believe that China is a greater threat than Russia is by any means. Well, I was going to ask you about their leader, but first I need to ask you, how is our military? I mean, you know, during Obama years, it seemed like, you know, it was decimated. I don't really know. I'm asking your opinion. Are we doing better, or are we really in trouble?
Well, we're starting to do better, but, you know, after the end of the Cold War, you know, most of our allies and even the U.S. to a certain degree said, look, you know, what do we need a large military for anyway? And so we began to cut back. Now, in the last couple of years, the budget has gone up. But budgets are deceptive. And I like to point this out when I get the opportunity. When we compare what the Chinese are spending to what we're spending, most people say, well, look, the United States Congress just passed a budget, $700 billion. What they don't know is that half of that is for personnel. Well, we pay soldiers and sailors and airmen and Marines very well, competitive wages in this country. In China, they don't. And so their cost for personnel is just a small fraction of a budget. If you look carefully at their budget, they're actually spending arguably more than we are on, you know, national defense. And in fact, you know, they have a lot of hidden parts of their investment in arms and in readiness, because the People's Liberation Army, which is really their armed forces, runs private businesses all over the world. And so wherever they buy a port or wherever they're building something, you know, that's really the front of the People's Liberation Army, and it's a conduit for their national agenda, which is pretty insidious, I would argue. So, you know, these are things that we need to wake up to, that this is a very legitimate, very real threat. And that's why I say it's an alliance of evil, because President Xi Jinping of China is going to be the president for life, much like Mao Zedong was. He is incredibly ambitious economically and militarily, as we begin to see in the last couple of years, their expansion across the world. They're gobbling up resources. They claim the South China Sea. They would claim all the East China Sea. And in fact, they claim most of the Pacific Ocean if they get the opportunity, and some of their strategists do just that. So there's a lot going on here that people need to recognize that, you know, it could be, as I say in Alliance of Evil, that the mystery of the end times might have finally arrived.
Yeah, amen. Actually, some of the potentials that we see in Bible prophecy haven't really been there until now, even the size of the armies, you know. For the record, how large is their ground forces, you know what I'm saying, their soldiers?
Well, the Chinese military is about 3 million. They have a reserve force of millions as well. You know, a lot of people will often go into Revelation and they'll say, well, there's this army out of the east. Well, it could be. You know, I don't know with certitude one way or the other. Certainly that's what the scripture says, is that, you know, we're going to see at the end times, you know, an army come from the east. And it very well may be the Chinese that are, you know, kind of jumping in there and moving out. You know, that's out of Revelation 16. But you know, they don't have 200 million, as you know, it suggests elsewhere in Scripture. But that doesn't mean that, you know, there can't be a coalition of other armies that would join them. And that's essentially what China is trying to do. It's building up its clientele all over the world, literally all over the world. You know, they're, as I said earlier, they'll go in and they'll provide, like in Eastern Europe, they've provided $300 billion to three different countries, and they can't pay back. So they leverage them to a certain degree to do their bidding, the Chinese bidding in Eastern Europe. They've done the same thing in Africa and South America. And so they begin to say, okay, you have to do what we're telling you to do because you owe us these funds. I know that sounds, you know, crass, but it's the reality. It's how they're operating in today's world. And they're doing it effectively, and unfortunately, it is beginning to have a major impact around the world.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, China is just ridiculous where they've been and where we're at. So let's go back to this. I think it was in this book, of course, that you made a comment that about the future of America. Do you think that, a lot of people are saying, well, now Donald Trump is president, we're going to be all right. That could slip back the other way real quick. Just for the record, what do you think about America? Do you think we've got a chance or what?
Well, I certainly hope we have a chance.
Amen.
The difficulty is none of us know with certitude whether or not the United States, you know, continues to prosper into the future, much less is a major player in the end times, because it's not clear in Scripture, to me at least. I know a lot of people use Revelation 12 and talk about, quote, the wings of the great eagles, suggesting that's the emblem of the United States, and others say in Revelation 18, you know, Babylon the Great is really the United States. Well, I'm not so sure about that, because I don't think God encrypted, you know, any particular country. You know, I have no doubt the scripture is going to be fulfilled as exactly as it says, but I just don't know what countries that is going to be. Though, as you indicate, Pastor, we're beginning to get a sense that a lot of what's going on today does fit into what the scriptures have been telling us from the time that God spoke through man and put them on print. But, you know, will America survive. You know, it could be, as one person has suggested, that, you know, that the Christians are going to be raptured here at the end times, and guess what? You know,
yeah.
The lack of Christians being salt and light in a world just further exacerbates
right.
or causes things to implode even faster. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. You know, as far as the rapture goes, you know, it could happen before the tribulation, it could happen in the middle, it could happen after. I don't bank too much on when, just being right before the Lord, you know, before we get to that point. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's what we should focus on instead of, in fact, I recently, brother, I had two different points of view of good people come on that were best-selling book authors to come on and each give their point of view in different programs about it, because I think we should listen to all sides of it and not use it as a part of division. As far as America goes and Bible prophecy, here's the biggest thing that I would love your view on it. You know, I'm like you. I don't know if people say we're Mystery Babylon, and then I've heard the wings of eagle and all those things. I can't conclusively go, yeah, thus saith Lord, that's it. What I can see, though, is I see that Israel is still the focal point of Bible prophecy. I believe that the Father used America to allow it to come back and being a country. I also believe that he's using America to keep the wolves at bay, so to speak. For the final conflict to happen, either America would, in my eyes, America would either have to be completely taken out of the picture or changed its view of Israel for those things to come to pass. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, if you read the epilogue, Pastor, I don't know if you had, in Alliance of Evil, I go into that and I say, look, you know, if I were to write the end times, this is how it might, you know, come out. And I do present Russia and China as, you know, an alliance. But then I align, you know, the world, as you suggest, you know, is becoming aligned against Israel, but the U.S. and it would appear India, which is a growing megapower, and a couple of others are facing off against, you know, what I would suggest. Interestingly, when Jerry Boykin was over in Egypt with President Sisi of Egypt this past fall, Jerry tells me that the president there said, look up to Turkey. Erdogan, the president, is an Islamist that wants to be the caliph of
right.
the new caliphate. And he says, he may be the Gog of Magog in, you know, Ezekiel. Don't know, but he said, look, you know, there's no doubt that this guy's incredibly ambitious. So we've got, you know, these sorts of pieces that are beginning to come to play, and I don't want to give the whole epilogue away because I actually put together a story there that I think, given what's going on in the world today, this kind of, you know, fits into Scripture, and it makes sense given what I've said in here.
Yeah, absolutely. And folks, when you get the book, just don't go to the epilogue and read it and ruin it. It won't ruin the rest of the book. But, you know, I'm one of those guys, brother, that I can't stand to read that end of the book first. But, yes, you do agree. It looks back to that. You do a really great job in this book, and you bring in things into it that, you know, because of your experience. And I believe the Father uses this. You know, people say, well, I'm going into ministry, what should I do? I say, well, look at, where did you come from? Look at your past life. What have you been doing? The Father will use those things that you did previously in your ministry. And you do a really fantastic job with this. I know it's early to say, but do you have any expectation on a future book?
You know, this one, you know, the Lord gave me, you know, in the late fall, as I looked around the world. You know, I've written five in a row now, Pastor. Last year, we had the Deeper State, of course. Then I had Never Submit, which was about the genocide of Christians in the Middle East, especially in Syria and Iraq. And that's, of course, played out. The deeper state has continues to play out. This, I think, this new alliance of evil, this new Cold War, is going to be before us in a very vicious way for many years to come. And so I'm not really sure. The Lord will put on my heart a topic, I'm sure, as we get close to the end of the year, because that's how it's worked for the last five.
Yeah, amen. You say never submit. I haven't read that book. I'm going to have to go get it, because that's a topic that I was really interested in. And it seemed to me at the time when all the Christians were being beheaded and everything over there by ISIS, there were so many Bible people that I had come on the radio and talk, and they always talking about the West. And it's, you know, what about these guys over there losing their head? And none of them really had much of an answer about it. You know, and how could they not be part of Bible prophecy when that's where it all started at? Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Well, having spent some time in Iraq and the Middle East, you know, I've known, you know, many fine Christians in that part of the world. And, you know, to see the treachery, the butchery, the genocide of those Christian communities, I have sat and, believe it or not, in the Pentagon with Chaldean Christians. You know, they speak today the same language that Jesus Christ spoke in Nazareth when he walked the earth. And so it's a small group of people there in northern Iraq that's continued to speak the language, and the Aramaic. And it's interesting that, you know, they're, you know, dwindling away, being killed away, and have been for some time. The Christian populations have just been wiped out throughout that region, or have fled the region. Even the Iranians, you know, I'm anticipating a civil war in Iran if things go as they are right now. And right. I know there are a lot of Christians. I met some Christians from Iran. They love the Lord, and they're under severe persecution. And it's fascinating how through visions and dreams today that you're hearing come out of, you know, new baby Christians in the Middle East. It's just absolutely fascinating that these could very well be the end times.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And I get a lot of that from Joel Richardson, who actually, you know, I'm sure you know who he is, and he goes over there and visits. And I've had Joel. Joel's been coming on my radio program since, you know, he wrote his first book. And yeah, he's real good. Anyway, we're getting to the end of the program. I do really appreciate your work, and keep it up. And again, I appreciate yours and every military veteran's service, whether they're in the service now or in the past. I appreciate you. I really greatly do. But thanks for being on with me, brother. Anything, Tom, you say goodbye, and then we'll go.
Well, thanks, Pastor. It's a blessing to be with you, and may God bless your ministry there in Kansas.
All right. Well, thanks for being on. We'll talk again, maybe. Goodbye and shalom to you, brother. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Well, folks, the book is The Alliance of Evil. Now, he does a really great job of both things. You know, he tells you about the military aspects, and his epilogue, where he really puts it all together and talks about, in his opinion, of the end times, is a really good view. Of course, another thing that I like about this man is he doesn't say, absolutely, it's this way or that way when it comes to the end time. Because, you know, folks, really, we all see through a glass darkly. We don't have 100% in any way, shape, or form. But if you open your eyes and you look around, one of the greatest signs that you can see is all the evil that was unleashed in all this language. Even by the, we're not, you know, as a believer in Yeshua, you're not supposed to cuss at all, let alone you see it out of everybody. And the hatred, look at the hatred levels. This is sign of the end times. We are in that end times. The slaughter of the Christians and the wipe out of the Christians in the Middle East, it's another sign. And in what we were talking about in our previous program, you're being brainwashed. You're being brainwashed by leftist media. You're being brainwashed by Google. You're being brainwashed by Facebook. Don't take those as final authority. Use sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is your Bible and not a modern translation. Go to a King James Bible or something that doesn't bend and twist so much.
pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church. You know, we are in, while summer is almost over, I love summertime, but I don't love summertime in the sense that the donations for about the last 5 years when it gets summer, and I know that's because of the economy, and it is getting better, but, you know, it's like a water spigot. You know, it was coming out pretty good, and then all of a sudden something clogged or somebody turns the spigot off and it's just barely dripping. So a lot of you folks, you're listening to this on podcast. Our podcast thing is due right now. Actually, I've got a couple of weeks, and we're going to lose all our programs in our podcast site with radio programs that go back to 2004 and 2002. We need to get that $600. I need to catch up radio airtime. We need $1,000 just for radio. So pray about it. If you make a donation for radio, make sure you write it for radio, especially if you send it in the mail. Say, for radio. But remember, there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua, HaMashiach. And he gave his life for repented sins. He rose after what? 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him and only through him. Only through him is the way of the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That is praying for Yeshua's return. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that Father, that you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.